This is Audible.
Random House Audio presents Star Wars, The Old Republic, Fatal Alliance by Sean Williams. Read for you by Mark Thompson. Chapter 25. The very second the medkit bleeped to tell her its work was done, Lorin slid her half-hand free and headed for the refresher. She was tired and ached all over, but this couldn't wait. There was only so much she could ask of a self-cleaning body glove. A good rinse was exactly what it needed. When she was done, she did as Ula had suggested and looked through his suitcases for anything she might be able to wear. Much of it was formal wear and still vacuum-sealed in its original packaging. A lot of it was also made from more expensive natural fabric, and therefore not amenable to on-the-fly adjustments. But Ula wasn't significantly larger than she. Eventually, she found dark blue pants and a matching jacket with a militaristic cut. The sleeves and legs came up to match her length, and the other measurements pulled in tight enough. With the black body glove underneath, she almost looked stylish, but for the bruises on her face and the missing fingers on her left hand. Lorin considered what she had told Ula she would do, and rejected it. She was tired, but knew she wouldn't be able to sleep. The first thing she noticed on leaving the refresher was that the ship wasn't moving. It was still in orbit about Hutta. She explored the main level of the Auriga fire. Hetchki was sound asleep in the crew quarters, and like any good soldier, hadn't been disturbed by her rummaging around. Soft male voices coming down the stairwell from the cockpit belonged to Jet and Ula. All the holds she poked her head into were empty, bar one. Shigar sat cross-legged with hands folded across his lap and eyes closed. The silver scrap sat innocently on the floor in front of him. His face was expressionless, but she could feel the tension radiating from him like an audible twang. He looked like she had felt half an hour earlier. Exhausted, dirty, and beaten half to death. She went and got the medkit.
"Your arm," she told him when she returned. "How are you going to achieve anything if you bleed out here in the dark?"
Without moving a single other muscle, he opened his eyes.
"I can't do it anyway, Lorin."
"You know you'll never be able to prove that true,"
she said, holding the medkit at him like a challenge.
"All you can prove is that you've stopped trying."
"But if you distract me..."
"That's not the same thing as giving up. That's called a regroup. I'm your reinforcements."
His mask of concentration finally broke into a faint smile.
"I'd happily trade places with you."
"Me too,"
she said, raising her injured hand. He took the medkit from her without another word. She explained the clothing situation while he tended his arm. He nodded vaguely. She slid down the wall and sat with her back against it. He didn't stop her. By the light spilling through the open door, he looked much older than she knew him to be.
"Everyone is waiting for me," he said as the medkit hummed away. "Not just you and Master Satil, Supreme Commander Stantors, hundreds of soldiers and starfighter pilots, the entire Republic, waiting for me to do something I've never been able to do. Not properly, anyway. It comes and goes. It's not reliable. I can tell you where your armor came from, but... this thing?"
The piece of droid nest glinted impassively back at him.
"What about my armor?"
she said. "Once, when I brushed against it,